We join the program already in progress.
And, of course, you know, there you've got, I don't know if you watched it or not. I did watch that second video, the one of O'Reilly making a fool of her and, you know, comparing her, where's her tin hat and that kind of stuff. I mean, and he's calling her the names. And don't get me wrong, I've called her names, too. I, matter of fact, I just called her a big fat pumpkin head. And she is, and she's a dyke, and she's a lesbian. Mm-hmm. But she apparently watched Loose Change or one of the other videos that's floating around the net, and she actually thought about it for a minute and did realize that a building can't come down, you know, a steel building, especially a building that was reinforced like building number 7,
right,
that had a literal bunker in it for the mayor or for the, I think it, I don't know all the details, but I think there was a command center in the event of a nuclear attack that building was supposed to withstand. That was going to be the command center for the mayor of New York or the governor of New York or both. And we're to believe that a fire caused the beams to warp and have the building come down in its own footprint.
Well, we had a great example of how that doesn't happen down in Texas last week. A large office building, eight-floor office building was fully involved in a fire. And Wolf Blitzer, I had CNN on, and Wolf Blitzer actually asked the question, is the building in danger of collapse? And the fire marshal did almost exactly what you just did and chuckled over that question. And then said, you know, well, it's unprecedented, you know, in most normal steel building fires that you know, the fire will just burn out and the building will remain standing.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like maybe he's a little aware that, you know, Wolf was trying to get at that WTC thing.
A little sarcasm, maybe. A little Jewish sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was kind of just hoping and praying that the fire chief was going to say, yeah, it's going to collapse any second. I mean, he was probably sitting there with his fingers crossed, hoping that the building was going to collapse.
Yeah. It's good. Mark and Callie would like to weigh in on this Rosie issue. You want to bring him in?
Go, you're the man. You the man.
Okay. Well, we'll do that then. Let me let my fingers do the walking here.
But
if I could figure this out.
Well, you go ahead and keep going. You you keep on going, and
it's been
a while
here since I've done this.
Well, you're doing a fine job, and again, the music selections tonight were kick ass.
Thank you. I want to get some more.
You the man.
More countryish bluesy stuff in there. I want to hear those Fenders twanging and Marshall screaming.
Well, you're going to hear that. I mean, well, you heard that right here.
Yep.
And we'll see to it that happens. That's what I'm learning to do right now, with your help, of course. And that's actually what I'm supposed to be doing tonight. But we'll make that some other night. I'm learning right now how to rip vinyl onto my hard drive.
Very good.
So we can play some of this unusual stuff.
Excellent. Mark, you there?
Hey, what's up, Santa? What's up, Jim?
How you doing?
Hey, dude.
Yeah, I thought I'd chime in to the whole Rosie O'Donnell, I'm a dyke, fucking lesbian shit conversation, because think about this. The best way to get rid of the whole conspiracy theory is you get someone to champion it like a fat lesbian that everybody hates. I mean, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
I mean, it's almost like getting RuPaul to do it, but I don't even know if that guy's alive. He might have got ass fucked to death. He could have been. I don't know.
Yeah, that's happened before.
Yeah, it's a proven fact in prison. You know, they just do that.
So you're saying that they let Rosie just go on and on and on and with, you know, in hopes of making a fool of her. You're saying that was approved.
Well, what I'm thinking is that actually in her heart of hearts, even as a fucking dyke that I hate, she's very much in the right of doing what she's doing. But the problem is that the media is saying, well, and that's why you see, like, when that happened on the whole, what's that one show with her and Barbara Walters? What is that?
The View.
The View.
Yeah. Once she went on and started spouting her shit off on The View last week, you saw what Fox News and CNN did. More so Fox News, because The View is run by Fox News or by Fox Media.
Well, she said that. Rosie actually said that. She didn't name the two, but she got right up to the line. She said the four major media outlets, including the one we're on right now, are controlled by four people.
Right.
And we know what that means. And I got a feeling she kind of knows what it means, but I think she knows she couldn't say, you know, that on the air. I think she
ragged Murdoch too.
She did?
Yeah. That became news.
Well, she's a well-informed dyke is all I could say, because she's right, you know, definitely.
She's not an idiot. I mean, she's not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer either, but she's not a complete fool. What's funny is I used to actually, I can't think of her name now. There's that skinny blonde girl on the show, and I think they hold her up as the staunch right-wing conservative. You know, they just threw her in there to keep something going all the time, to keep your eyes off the prize. But she, I used to actually think that she was sort of intelligent, but after watching that video, I saw that she's just she's an imbecile.
Well, you look at the screen that's there, all right? You've got, and I'm sorry if I'm cutting people off because I can't hear you guys right now. You've got Rosie on the left side. You've got the one brunette girl, and I don't know what her name is. You've got the Jew, the fat, ugly Jew who's ugly as shit. And then you've got the top blonde-eyed, blue-eyed girl that's sitting there who's a fucking complete neocon. And what do you make of it, you know? It's basically, they're trying to manipulate shit, and there's Rosie O'Donnell actually spilling shit that's the truth out at everybody, and she's still like a fat, ugly fucking guy. I don't know any white guy that would want to fuck her, man.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Stan, is Mark coming in garbled on your end, or is that just me? I mean, okay. I forget the technical term here that us radio guys use.
Well, you know what? I've been on the air with you guys before, or with everybody, and sometimes people sound garbled, but they sound through the feed perfectly. Like you guys sounded perfectly earlier. So okay. I mean, I don't know. So if someone could chime in and say if I sound like I'm talking through a funnel, whatever, that's fine.
I got a gig and a half of RAM on this machine, so I'm doing okay as far as resources, but, you know, a DSL pipe, it'll only take so much, so.
Yeah. No, it's not completely unintelligible, but you're coming in sort of garbled, Mark, but that's okay. I can make it out. I can make out what you're saying. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, the bottom line is that do you take what Rosie says at... Even though she sounds like what we would term very factual, and as an intelligent white guy with a high IQ, I would say she's right on target. But is that just a ploy? Is that the media saying, here's a fat fucking dyke for the lemmings or the sheeple, whatever the fuck you want to call them, just sucking it up and just really... kicking her off the side going, that's a fucking fat dyke, fuck her, you know.
Yeah, but let's be realistic though, she's got a large following, whether you love her or hate her, there are people, and I'm not one of them, by the way, I just happened to see that video on YouTube, or it was on AOL, I think, but I mean, just when she said that, just think about how many people how many soccer moms in the schoolyard that afternoon were talking about something other than Osama bin Laden attacking us. I mean, let's be realistic here. She's got a hell of a following, and if she says it, well, here, let's cut right to the chase. Oprah don't lie, honey.
Right.
When Oprah gets a hold of this, and when Oprah sits down, and me and Stan were talking about this just the other night, and it's just the lemmings who follow these people. And the perfect example is that Negress who had Alex Linder on the phone on that radio show. Oprah don't lie, honey. Now, if this gets if Oprah Winfrey gets wind of this and says the same thing on her show, imagine what the conversation is going to be like in the schoolyard the next day with all the soccer moms.
Right.
Hey, did you hear? You know, if we talk about this stuff, and I talk about this kind of stuff with my neighbors, and I make some headway, because there's just no deny. If you watch those movies like Loose Change, there's 100 of them out there. I can't think of the titles. Loose Change being about the most popular one. If you watch that move, if you watch that video, you cannot believe that. That building, number 7, fell down by the heat from a fire. First of all, what burns by concrete in a steel building? Office
furniture?
Jim. Uh-huh.
Hey, Jim, I'm going to cut you off. But when the Jew fucking said, we pulled it, that pretty much sets the fucking bar right there. You know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that this fat pumpkin-headed dyke, the hypocrite that she is, that thinks it's okay for her bodyguards to have handguns, but no one else should. But by her stating this, you know, en masse, in front of everybody, millions of listeners, now there's another side to the story, whereas before it was just like nut guys like Yankee Jim or Stan Sikorsky or Mark and Callie. You know, when they talk about it, unfortunately, we don't carry the weight that Oprah, and literally, too, in my case, Rosie O'Donnell and Oprah both carry. And like I said, you know, the extreme case would be that Oprah sits down and watches Loose Change, and she decides to start talking about it on her show. Because how many white women religiously follow? I mean, if Oprah says it, you know, Oprah don't lie, honey. It's the truth. It's the gospel. And that's got to be the Jew's biggest nightmare, to have Oprah turn on them and start saying, you know, 911 was an inside job. How would they deal with that? If Oprah said it, and you got to remember, Oprah don't lie.
Keep in mind, Jim, Oprah is on fucking, what is it, CBS or whatever the fuck it is.
It don't matter what she's on. The fact is, the masses follow her like a cult. And
no,
it says this is the gospel. And I'm not saying we're going to solve anything or fix anything, but the bottom line is, if Oprah starts talking about it, well, then there's going to be millions talking about it. Literally, the next day in the schoolyard, or that same day when they're picking their kids up at, you know, 3 in the afternoon, that's going to be the time. Hey, did you hear what Oprah said? She said, you know, that our government may have had a role in the 911 attacks. I mean, that's got to be their biggest nightmare.
Come on. Oprah is Harpo, whatever, her name backwards, media. Yeah, you know, it's fucking stupid. But the bottom line, though, Jim, is that she's still controlled by the fucking Jew media. You can't undecipher that or take that away, you know?
Well, so is the pumpkin-headed dyke, Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, she's controlled. And it's interesting that they actually let her. I don't know how that slipped out. I mean, I don't know if that show is done live. I don't know anything about it. All I saw was that seven-minute clip, and I was pretty shocked that that was on the mainstream, because let's be realistic. I mean, it gets you to think. I mean, just the mere fact, you know, people, they just parrot what they see on TV. Weapons of mass destruction. People don't actually sit down and think. You know, we've all seen a video of Building 7, you know, on the mainstream falling in as it was happening 5 years ago. But nobody ever thinks, like, what caused that to, you know, did fire really cause that building to come down on itself in its own footprint like that?
I didn't believe it.
The sad part, well, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. I didn't even really think about it. And I remember watching that as it was happening. And I just stood there and watched it, and I really didn't think either. I didn't think anything about it. All I do know is that you had the media leading us to believe that fire brought it down.
Right.
And a guy like me, who's not a, I'm not a rocket fuel scientist. I'm not a complete fucking idiot either. I mean, you know, just the mere, I do know that diesel fuel can't get that hot. That's, I mean, just from working in the shop and on trucks and stuff, I know that diesel fuel can't get hot enough to melt steel.
Right.
And I do know, now that I think about it, I do know that a steel reinforced building like building number 7 that's, you know, made out of concrete and steel, what burns in a concrete building? Carpeting? Do they have? I've never been in Building 7. I've been in the World Trade Center a couple of times. Matter of fact, I had a cousin that used to work at the Windows of the World up on top as a waitress many, many, many years ago. But what burns in a concrete building?
Nothing.
Papers on paper. Yeah, I mean, what burns? And what burns hotter? And anybody listening to this show right now, and I don't know how this turned into a discussion on 911, but it ended up going there. But I think anyone, I mean, if you go out and you stick a match in a gallon of diesel fuel or kerosene, the match goes out.
Yep.
You know, it needs something to cling to, like a piece of paper or a piece of wood or to cause it to burn. Something's not right. And the thing is that they're actually talking about it on the mainstream right now. And I'm curious as to why. I mean, why? And what's going to be the outcome of this? I mean,
hey Jim, have you ever worked in a regular office building environment?
I've not you know proper. I mean, I've worked in and out of hospitals, you know, in like X-ray departments and stuff like that.
Well, let me not in a
cubicle, if that's what you're talking about. Not an office job per se.
Basically, that whole environment that they have set up in the Twin Towers, whatever, in most business environments, you've got carpet, like you said, and the cubicles. And those are, to date, those are very non-flammable items. So, you know, I can't expect it just for someone to say to me, those are the cubicles that were set up 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they're going to blow up in fucking flames. It's not going to happen. That's not what they're made of anymore. You know, based on OSHA, you know, anybody look at OSHA requirements, it's not going to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm no expert on any of this kind of stuff, but, I mean, we're not talking about something that requires a lot of knowledge here. I mean, this is basic science. Like I said, I mean, if you take a match and go drop it in a vat of kerosene or diesel fuel, the match is going to go out. And I think that'll even, I'm not recommending any of the listeners try this, but I think even if you did that in a gallon of gasoline, I think the match goes out. I think in the case of gasoline, I think it's the fumes
right.
that burn and not the liquid gasoline itself. But, you know, and in this case, I mean, I don't know how many gallons of fuel were in those buildings. You could assume that it was quite a bit. You know, thousands of gallons. I think I read somewhere around 5,000 or 6,000 gallons in each one of those planes. And the initial burst we all saw, you know, I guess
that burned
I guess,
most of it right there.
Yeah, but again, getting back down to basic science here, I know from being an auto truck mechanic for most of my younger life, when you see black smoke, that means the fire. You know, and we all saw the black smoke billowing out. Black means that it's choking for air. There's not enough air to burn. That's what black smoke means. When a car
exactly.
runs, it blows black smoke. When a diesel's burning running rich, it's pouring black smoke. It's not getting enough air in the mixture. You know, this is not something that you have to go to school for 40 years to be able to figure out. This is common. And the building number 7, I mean, no planes hit it. There was no diesel fuel. I mean, it caught on fire. It went on fire. And just like you brought up the example about the guy down in where was it, where Wolf Blitzer asked him if, you know,
Texas.
Is it going to collapse? Yeah. you know, that's they. I think that's the only building in history, and coincidentally, it had to be one of the most reinforced built. I mean, you got to think if there was a bunker there as a command center, as an emergency command center in the event of a terrorist attack. You kind of like to think that it could withstand a little bit of a fire. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Jim. Yeah. You know about it was about a week ago, I think, where another building caught fire in Chicago. Where it was like a the air conditioning fire happened, and I was like fucking with a bunch of guys that I talked to, and I was like, maybe it's gonna drop down like the other buildings. And then I did a little bit of research. And, of course, this building was for sale by a Jew that is somehow related to the other fucking kike that owns, what is it, Twin Towers. You know, what the hell's his name? I can't remember.
Anybody? Silverstein. Larry.
Silverstein, yeah.
Yeah, that little rat.
It was Showstein or something like that. It's easily if you did Silverstein and looked up buildings and friends or something like that on the internet, you would just be amazed how connected the kikes are with regards to real estate. And I was thinking immediately what was going through my mind is like, oh shit, they're gonna try and burn down this building, but the Chicago fire department love them to death. I mean, they did a great job. They were up there in no time putting it out, you know. So they were, like, not really happy about that because, you know, you can only burn down a building and that's a steel structure in 20 minutes. I think that's a key. You know, once you get to 20 minutes, that's when steel melts no matter what the temperature is. It just falls down on itself. You know, that could be the key.
Yeah, well, we could go on and on and on about the theories here, but the only thing is, like I said, I think I read somewhere, and that doesn't make it the gospel just because I read it somewhere, that building number 7, the one that we're led to believe was a command center in the event of a terrorist attack, it's the only building in history that ever came down. It's the only building, you know, steel and concrete building that ever came down completely on itself,
twice.
In its footprint. Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah, it turned into dust from fire.
Cowboy Zeke messaged me here. He says, I understand your points, but I think what Yankee Jim is getting at is that we don't need everyone to be mental giants. We just need the numbers to flip this egg over. You shouldn't underestimate the power of the mob of cretins, especially if they are our mob of cretins. And if they are willing to believe that 911 might be a government plot, maybe they might even buck the tide and begin believing that they have interest.
And
quite.
It fell in on
well,
itself.
Well, Sanders.
We seem to be having a problem here with communications. It is the top of the hour. I'm going to run. I'm going to run a tune and take a break. And we'll be right back with more Free Talk Live. You're on the VNN Broadcasting Network. Hang out, everyone.
Polen hat heute Nacht erstmal auf unserem eigenen Territorium Aufstiegsbereich regulären Soldaten geschaffen. Und von jetzt ab wird Bombe mit Bombe vergolten.
Das Deutschland von einst hat um 12:45 die Waffen niedergelegt. Deutschland von 1 hat um 11:45 die Waffen niedergelegt.
12 die Waffen niedergelegt. Von 1 hat 11:45 die Waffen niedergelegt.
Jetzt zurück.
instructions.
Here's a little DJ Adolf 88 for you there on our break. Yeah, we had a little Skype failure there. Stuff happens. I mean, I've got a machine here that's rammed out and ultra-fast processor, and things still go straight to hell occasionally. So I'm going to bring Mr. Yankee Jim back in. Yankee Jim of VNNForum.com. Hello?
Yeah, I'm back.
There you are. Yeah, something burped.
Yeah, shit happens. You know what they say.
I'm looking at this picture on the forum here in the thread for FTL, and we got this Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
I saw that.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what?
I don't care if she talks or not. She looks pretty good.
She, you know what? I really used to think that she was fairly intelligent until I saw that little six-minute clip. It just changed my whole opinion about her.
Really?
And I knew she was a neocon. I mean, I knew she was that kind of an idiot, but I thought that she could actually think.
Mm.
Fooled me.
You know who she looks like? I don't know if you've ever watched Law and Order.
No.
There's what's his name? D'Onofrio. This would be on Criminal Intent. He has a nemesis who is a blonde British or Australian female. Depending on which persona she's using at that time for the show. And this woman looks almost exactly like her.
Hmm.
But then again, I don't know her politics. You caught it. I haven't had a chance to.
Yeah, well, who, you mean the Hassel, what's her name,
Hasselbeck, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's the, you know, all the others are bleeding heart liberals, Rosie and, well, needless to say, the kike.
Right.
Barbara Walters. I don't know who that woman was that was filling in for Barbara Walters. One could only assume she was another kike.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that to be the case, though. And the other one, Joy Behar, I used to actually listen to her years ago. She had a talk radio program on WABC in the city when I drove a truck down there and was stuck in traffic. She's kind of funny in a strange kind of a way, or at least she used to be. And if I'm not mistaken, she's an Italian Catholic girl, and she married a kike and screwed everything up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's still married to the kike, but you could assume that she is just by the way she was talking in that video.
Right.
You know, she did mention Israel and Jews, this and that, and you know the whole thing is that they're leading all the soccer moms in the world to believe that the Arabs are the bad guys, mm-hmm. And I could really give a fuck. about Arabs. I mean, really. You know, the only thing is, but it was like I said, it was so. Is Mark still on, by the way?
Excuse me. No, Mark's dropped.
Okay.
Actually, we have to get to the Bud White segment.
You go ahead and you the man.
Of our program.
We could talk about this video anytime.
Okay. Well, let's bring him in then. It's quite a busy evening here. I'm getting slammed with. Messages over Skype, and we definitely have a lot of people listening right now.
We do.
Yeah, last count I had 90 folks tuned in to our broadcast.
Well, we'll be right up there with Alan Combs any time now. Hammering out the Jew.
All right, let's give Bud a call here. Let's see if it's working. It says we're connected. Bud, you there? Hello, Bud. Bud White from New Jersey. Come in. We're not getting anything here.
Up.
There we are.
Hello.
Hi, Bud.
Hello.
Hey, Bud.
How's it going, guys?
Going good. How you doing?
You doing? All right. How's the audio?
A little sketchy. I was little getting an echo of myself.
All right, hold on. Let me, a little better?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm still getting an echo, but I'll keep my mouth shut.
All right, you want to keep the call or you want to reschedule this? How bad is it?
You're fine.
You're fine. Oh, okay. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. It's been Yankee Jim there?
Should be.
Should be.
Oh, wait a minute. I know what the problem is. Let me call you back.
Call you back. Okay.
All right. Yeah, I screwed that up. Jim, you there? Hey, folks, I don't know how to run Skype anymore, even though I was one of the original founders in the broadcasting network that used it. Let's try this another way. All right. Let's bring Jim back in. Hello, Jim. Jim?
I'm back. Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah, I screwed up.
Yeah, you're getting pretty good at that, Stan.
It's funny, I was one of the original people who started using this whole thing back in the beginning of the broadcast.
I remember the day.
Stuff, and now I can't run it to save my life. Let's bring Bud
remember
in
the
here.
Day. You got Bud on the line?
He's coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Hello.
There he is.
Just a joke.
Little better?
Yeah. Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, problem wasn't on my end, was it?
No, it was my end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just right forgot how to do everything that I originated here, so.
Yeah, you started this, what, last summer?
I don't hear Bud.
Yep.
Right.
Do you hear him, Jim?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I sure don't.
Hmm.
I'll tell you what, while you're trying to get Bud on the line, if you'd like, I can read an article here. There was a fire that destroyed a New York anti-Zionist
Hello.
Synagogue. Maybe, you know, a few of the listeners would get a kick out of...
Stay with us, Bud.
I'm here.
You don't hear him, Jim?
I don't hear him.
That's odd. You should.
I hear you crystal clear, but I
says call
don't
progress.
Hear Bud.
Yeah. All right, well, we got two ways to do this.
You want me to, you want to drop, reconnect, and I'll call in on a hard line?
Actually, that's not going to work out, because I'm not using the VNN account.
Is Bud calling it? Is he Skyping
oh, okay.
you, or
yeah,
is he on a landline?
He's Skyping, and he's right here. He's talking, and you can't hear him.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on, then.
I'll tell you what. Hold on a second.
Hold on. Let me raise the microphone.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
All right. It's all the way up.
And you don't hear him, Jim?
No, I sure don't. I can if you'd like, you know,
nothing.
I could drop off until you get it straightened out. I don't know what the problem is. You're the man running it, but
can you hear me now?
I hear you fine. Jim doesn't hear you. Let's do this. I'm gonna disconnect the call.
Okay.
And Bud, you call me, and then we'll bring
okay.
in Jim, and we'll try it.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Yeah, so little testicle difficulties here, and we'll get this stuff straightened out. Always a new challenge here on FTL. And I'm waiting for Bud to call me back. There he is. Okay. Hello?
Yeah, it's Bud.
Hey, Bud. Okay.
Any better?
Yeah. Well, you sound fine. Let's get Jim in here. See if this works this way.
I'm back.
All right.
Okay, now I hear Yankee Jim.
Okay.
I got you now, Bud.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
We solved the problem. White men again.
There you go. I thought you brought in some jungle savage to solve the problem.
No.
For you. Go ahead. You're getting good at this, Stan.
All right, Bud, what do you have for us tonight?
We got a lot of stories. I'm not going to really take up a whole lot of time tonight. I haven't been on. I haven't done the update since I think it's probably December. And I guess maybe I'd pick out the biggest three or four stories of the year. I don't know if you remember. This was up on the forum, and it was up on YouTube late last year with that video of that Atlantic City councilman, that Gene Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was having sex with that prostitute, and he claimed his political competition took the video. I don't know if you remember that, but it turns out that it was his political opponents that took that video.
Okay.
And this Atlantic City Council president, this Craig Calloway, was sentenced, it was about 2 weeks ago, multiple counts of taking bribes, and he was sentenced federal prison for 40 months. And I posted about this on BNN and on the blog. He, at his sentencing, they quoted in the paper, they kind of made it sound like figuratively speaking. And then I found another article on the internet, no, literally speaking. He turned it around and flipped the bird to all these reporters and then went into the courtroom and started crying to the judge. And he said he was trying to help out his constituents. He took the bribes to benefit the people of Atlantic City. He was doing it for the good of the people. Also, last Friday, out of Camden, State Senator Wayne Bryant, of the darker persuasion, I might add.
Nigger. You're talking about a nigger?
Yep. Talking about
just
a nigger.
Just like the councilman you were just talking about. He was a nigger also, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. This is all Jersey TMB.
Yeah. It was a setup. They set me up.
Well, he did it for the good of the people. So how could you find any fault with that?
Yeah, this was the one, the first one you were talking about was having sex in the motel with the underage white prostitute.
No, the guy, his political opponent who got that video, who had that video made, he went away for 40 months.
Oh, okay.
The one that was having sex with the prostitute, he's still in business. Things are going good for him. It was his opponent who, I guess, paid somebody, had a video camera planted in the room. He was, at the time when that video was aired and it came out in the newspapers, he was awaiting sentencing. And his sentencing was about 2 weeks ago. And there was apparently his supporters, his political hackies, started beating up and cursing the press and spitting on them. He flipped them bird, then went into his sentencing and started crying in front of the judge and said, well, he took those bribes for the benefit of the people.
Yeah. Why does Marion Barry come to mind when you talk about this?
Well, that's the thing is you could have an axe murderer and you're going to have these nigger-infested cities. They're going to vote for him.
Yeah, he'll get reelected.
Marion Barry was, convicted on drug charges. And then later on, didn't he run for office again? And he won?
He got reelected, yeah. I mean, he's the epitome of a ghetto Negro. I mean, you can't get any more ghetto niggery than Marion Barry. You can't do it. And his constituent, he was reelected after the setup. He was set up and shit in the motel. Remember smoking the crack with the whore?
Right.
And they reelected him. I think it was a landslide, too. I mean, we're talking about niggers here. We're talking about beasts of the field. We're not talking about people. These are niggers. And they run all the major cities now. Philadelphia, Atlanta. I mean, these are savages.
And speaking of which, this state senator, Wayne Bryant, is facing 20 counts in a federal indictment.
Only
he got a no-show, 20 counts, which really doesn't sound, I mean, all that, you know, taking bribes. What he got was he got a $38,000 a year no-show job through the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, which commonly called UMDNJ. And he apparently showed up at this job once a week in the morning and read newspapers and then went home. And he got $38,000 a year for this because he lobbied heavily on behalf of this university, which doesn't sound like the most, it's not real TMB in spades. I mean, you can imagine other people doing that as well.
Yeah, but he was a nigger, though, right? I mean, it was an affirmative act.
Yeah.
And he got paid $38,000 to come read the paper one day a week?
Yeah, and his pension He, with these several no-show jobs, he managed to up his pension from, which I don't quite understand, but it went from $28,000 a year to $81,000 a year. But he's eventually, he'll be going away for a while. You don't walk away from, you know, 20 counts federal charges. And I actually put up the newspapers, posted the actual, I guess, what would you call it? The affidavit, his actual complaint from, I guess, the Justice Department is up on the Internet. And I link to that on the blog, and I also link to that on the forum.
Well, you say that he's going to get some time. I mean, you got to always remember the O.J. case. I mean, you know, come on. Look at the juries that are going to be involved here.
You look at this councilman from Atlantic City. He was sentenced to 40 months. What does that mean? He's going to be out in two?
Yeah.
You know, 2.5 the most. But a couple other stories I wanted to talk about. Also, we get a chance. I've talked to some people on the phone about the rally.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the responses that I got from a few people I've talked to.
Great.
Both of them were from Tennessee, and I wanted to talk about that briefly.
Are they listening right now, do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
We'll get into it in a few minutes. Internally, with New Jersey Unfiltered, Jim in Colorado's YouTube account got pulled.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of videos up. I know he's got a new user ID already, so I don't know whether or not some of those videos he made are back up again. I uploaded a whole bunch of torrents a couple months ago for the Glory Fire episodes to mininova.org, and they pulled them all. Well, most of them. So I learned to not, you know, upload, you know, 10 episodes in one day and have somebody over there, you know, pull them. So I'll slip them in once in a while under some pretty harmless titles and try to get by that way.
Some of the guys were being pretty creative with the keywords. I mean, you know, I got a feeling now that if you title something, you know, with Chen and Christian or Chris Newsom in it, you know, it's going to be like a magnet and it's going to draw the moderators who watch those boards. So if you use some of these creative keywords in the title, like big thick booty or one of them type things, I forget. I think it was Panzerfaust who was talking about the keywords, and that's what it was, like a magnet. It was drawing people in. So you may want to keep that in mind also. But you got to wonder why they're getting rid of this. I mean, all it is truth. It's facts. I mean, I guess they really don't want people to know about this girl that was found in 5 garbage bags. They don't want.
I would agree with that.
I mean, Jew. They call it YouTube. I don't know anything about YouTube other than I watch the videos. You know, that some of the guys post up occasionally. Is it a company owned by Jews? I don't know.
It's owned by Google, who is
by Google, which is Kikes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so now we understand why it's disappearing.
And I think they made a video. They had an account for quite a long time, like a year. And all of a sudden, one of their videos in the title or the keywords, they had the word ADL.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, within 24 hours of having that pop up, their account got suspended.
Yeah. Well, you know, these people, there are people that monitor these boards. I mean, this is what they do for, like a hobby. They do this for fun. Like what we're doing right now, we're just trying to get word out, and there are people out there that actually spend their evenings and days trying to prevent the truth from getting out. So it's like pissing in the wind is what it's like.
Speaking of Jews, I guess on a positive note.
Uh-oh.
You lost Bud?
Well, it says he's there, but
okay.
I don't know.
I heard a little, you know, like a drifting, like a...
Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
Yeah.
Why does the microphone level keep dropping?
Skype is controlling it for some reason.
Okay, it keeps automatically bringing it back down.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be Skype. Skype's running it. You got to go to Tools.
Hold on a second. Can I do this now?
Yeah, you can do it now.
All right, Tools.
Tools. Options.
All right.
Sound devices. And you'll see a little checkbox next to the words, "Let Skype adjust my sound device settings." Uncheck that box, and you have control of them.
All right. Sounds.
Sound devices.
All right, sound devices, okay, and let Skype adjust my sound device settings, uncheck that.
Yep, and it's all yours.
Okay, let me just raise this back up again.
There you go.
All right, we good now?
Yep, a little Skype 101 for everybody.
Very good.
You're the man.
Some Jew that runs a blog called, he doesn't like Hasidics. He's very critical of Hasidics, but he apparently was watching my site, and I was referred to as a New Jersey Nazi. Oh. And it's called, I think some fellow Jews attacked his website, so I think they got the password or something, so he had to rename it, and it's called, like, theunorthodoxjew.blogspot.com. And he was talking about a story I had posted out of Lakewood, how these schools were fraudulently getting taxpayer-funded lunches, claiming that they were authorized daycare centers, and they really weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking about VNN, and he called VNN the biggest hater, racist website. And then he said that... New Jersey Unfiltered heavily covers the Lakewood Hasidic community, which I do.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to do it.
So,
and thank you for doing that, by the way.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
Somebody's got to watch these stinky fox.
By the way, a couple weeks ago, I was at the very foothills of what Yankee Jim would call the Jew-infested Catskill Mountains.
Mm.
And I drive up there, and I'm driving through Monzie, and I thought to myself, how did I get back to Lakewood so quickly?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I know the area you're talking about.
Yeah, it's right at the border of the top of Jersey going into New York, and it was like I was back in Lakewood.
Is that where the bear snacked on one of those little Hispanic?
No. That was my pet bear. No, actually, I was up. Pastor Wickstrom was on the air one night, and he said after that incident happened a few years ago, he said, "What's this I hear about Yankee Jim's pet bear getting loose up there in the Catskill Mountains?" I thought that was pretty good of Jim. He was pretty good at that kind of stuff, right off the cuff. I mean, and. I was actually on the phone with him on his radio show, and he says, "What's this we hear about your pet bear getting loose up there, Jim?" And I said, "Yeah, I gotta get it back. Keep him well trained." I'm sorry, Bud. You were talking about Monzie. I think Monzie is right near Mahwah, right up at the border.
Okay. Yeah.
Does it sound about right, Bud?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ramapo, that area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very, very top of Jersey. The GPS in the car told me to turn off and start going down all these back roads. I had to get up to Rockland Community College, mm-hmm. So it had me turn through all these back roads. And I drive past this huge sign that says, "Welcome to New York, the Empire State." And like 50 feet after that, I look on the right and I see a synagogue. And then it was just like, you know, suburbia, a lot of old, like, bi-levels. You could tell these were built like 40, 50 years ago. And it was Saturday afternoon. So they were all out walking. And it looked just like Lakewood. Except I didn't see any Mexicans. So if you take the Jews from Monzie and throw in a Mexican slum, that's Lakewood.
Oh, they're up here. There's certain sections right not far away from Monzie. I think Spring Valley is one of them, and it's the whole cancer is spreading up here. Wherever the Jews go, you know, the rest of the filth, you know, follow. They need the American equivalent of the Palestinians to do their shit work for them.
And they usually, you know, they've down by you. I was just talking to Stan about this the other day. What was that town, Stan, we were talking about down by Freehold? Manalapan.
Yep.
That was Jew-infested years ago, 20 years ago.
30, and it's even worse now.
Well, the Puerto Ricans came in and just they completely took it over, and all the Jews fled down to the Marlboro, Lakewood area, and they just, you know, wherever they go, they bring the non-white filth with them to do their shit work, and then they start breeding and take it over, and then the Jews continue to move on, and they're just it's everywhere. They're spreading everywhere like a cancer, and that's what they are. They're a cancer. They destroy everything they come in contact with.
Not going to hear any argument from me on that.
But go ahead.
I saw this Vaz Isnias, which is it's this Jewish blogger from New York, and all he does is it's a great news source, and I don't like to direct people to that site because it's loaded up with some vicious, vicious spyware. But he's talking about it all, you know, all the New York stories. And they had this thing about this Quebec motel, hotel, where I guess the Jews there were asking that Gentiles be compensated because the Jews didn't want them using the pool there for 3 days, that they have some kind of thing that they need to use the pool, and they can't have Gentiles going in the water.
Oh, what, they
so
need to bathe?
Anyone who was inconvenienced by this was offered some kind of freebie. And then there was this whole argument on this blog site about it. And one Jew said, well, basically Gentiles can't stand us because we're all financially successful. They're envious of us. And I'm thinking to myself, you want to use a pool and you don't want other people that don't meet your criteria, or you're viewing me like I'm some kind of nigger. But then you're going to turn around and say, well, you're jealous and envious of us because of our financial successes.
Yeah, they are pretty good crooks financially.
But I'll talk real quickly to get off New Jersey news real quick. I'll talk about a few phone calls I have with some people in regards to the rally.
Please do.
I got a phone call, and I mentioned this on the blog a couple weeks ago. Got a phone call from somebody in Tennessee who wanted to place an order. And I took the guy's order, and I said to him, I said, you hear anything? You know, I played stupid, and I said, did you hear anything about that murder case? And a guy said to me, which one? What are you talking about?
Which one?
So I started filling in some of the details, and he still didn't know what I was talking about. You know, I said, you know, five black guys or what is it? It's four black guys and one black female, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he and I started talking, and he said to me, he said, whenever I don't understand why hate charges weren't pressed against these people, hate crime charges. And he sounded like definitely like he was on our side of the fence. And then he called.
Whoop. Let's hang out here. We lost Bud for a second there. Jim, you still there? Skype is acting the fool this evening with me. As I said in my post on the forum, I feel like a old man driving in an open-air market with no brakes, which I should add.
Back, I didn't mention this on the forum, but...
We lost everybody. Okay. We'll figure this out. Hang in there, VNN folks. This is what happens when you have a DSL line. Usually it's pretty good, but... There you are.
Hello.
Yeah, it keeps dropping.
Is that you or me?
I think it's me. We have some weather in the way, too, so let me bring Jim back in here.
Okay. Where did you lose me?
I lost you when you were on the conversation about you thought the guy was kind of on our side.
Yeah, so I started talking to him, and he said he was you know, special forces, got out in 73, and I guess from what he was telling me, he sounded like a biker.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the question before I even proceed is, would bikers be welcome at this rally?
I don't see why not, if they're white.
As long as they're not in the Ching-a-lings.
But I told him I'd send him an email, and I'd let him and his people know whenever there's a date set.
Good.
I
know a lot of bikers personally, a lot of white bikers, and they're good people to have on your side.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I had another conversation very quickly with somebody in tech support with FedEx. And she had a southern accent, and I said, what state are you in? She said, Tennessee. So I started going into my little line of questioning, asking her, and she was, you know, mid-50s. And she said, well, I never read the paper because it's so depressing. And she said, in my adult life, I think I've read the paper 7 times. And then she started going into, I guess she got defensive. Which she shouldn't have, but she was trying to make a point that she's raised 4 wonderful children without ever reading the paper, and she doesn't like to read the paper because it's depressing.
Yeah.
So that's proof she's the woman. That's reading newspapers. That's a man's job. Tough stuff.
But she didn't want to hear anything about it, so I dropped the conversation.
Hmm. Yeah, well, she did what she was supposed to do. She raised 4 white children.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hopefully they're healthy and can think.
Yeah. That's actually pretty good that she's only read the paper that many times. That means she's a lot less infected by the Jew.
Well, that could change. I mean, if she sits around and watches Oprah, because, you know, she don't lie, honey.
Oprah don't lie.
Well, then that would throw, you know, negate everything else about reading the paper. But it's funny, Bud was talking about Monzi. I've got an article in front of me, something that went on down in Monzi that I was going to actually read, but I'll wait until he's done with the New Jersey juice stuff.
Is that bus that Jew cooking oven bus that guy had, is that close to Monzi?
I think that was near Monzi. Stan, didn't you? You're the one that posted that on VNN Forum.
I think so. I'm not exactly
right?
Sure of the location. I'd have to go back to the story and look. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But, nailed it to his house.
I saw a picture of that.
Ran a gas line from his kitchen into the bus.
Illegal gas
line.
Been
doing this for years. And they finally just caught on to him. So that means some neighbor, new neighbor or whatever, snitched on him.
That's funny, because in essence, he had a gas chamber.
Yeah.
And you said he ran a gas line into the bus, right? Which automatically turns it into a gas chamber. That's funny.
Should have invited the whole congregation over.
Hysterical. For bagels and gas. I was a haircut survivor. I survived a haircut. Look at they show my hair on the floor. Survived.
You know what we really need? We really need somebody. If we need a blog, we really need a blog that covers the 5 boroughs.
Hmm.
If you really want to talk about a, you know, just TMB, TJB. I know Jim covers a lot of the, you know, the Catskills. But I don't. Do we have anybody on the forum who's from, you know, Manhattan or Brooklyn or Queens or the Bronx or Staten Island?
There was a gentleman I met when I was in Kingston who gave me a ride back into the city to catch a train home.
And I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and he signed on to the forum, but I haven't seen him, you know, in quite a while. But he lived, you know, in the city. And he would be great to report, you know.
Yeah.
I had a great conversation on the ride, and he seemed
he's the sharp guy, the guy you're talking about. He's pretty sharp.
Yeah.
And, now that you mention it, I haven't seen him around or heard of him for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. But it'd be nice if somebody out there in that location would, step forward, you know, set you up with a blog and You know?
Yeah. It's an easy thing to do.
Or is the answer that all decent white people have left New York City?
They might have.
they sure may have. Think about it. I mean, there was a point in my life back in the late 70s, I would have loved, even though it was a shithole at that point in time, I would have loved to, I was like a city guy, and, you know, city living, it didn't really bother me. I was used to it, but I could never do that now. Things have changed quite a bit in the last 25 years. For the worse, of course.
I had an audition for Jewman Group a couple summers ago, and I almost got the gig, but the only thing that I couldn't do was go back to that city every freaking day.
I remember you telling me about that on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, as much as they wanted to pay me, there's no way in hell I was going to go back to that city every day.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had a hole. You would have had a hole in your stomach.
Yeah.
And it's aggravating. You got to be. I used to drive a tractor trailer in that every day, 6 days a week, in Brooklyn, and not in Manhattan. But actually, I did go into one place in Manhattan, but I could never. I don't know how I did it, and I could never do it again. That's for sure.
No.
But yeah, blog for that area would be nice, and if I can do it, anybody. Could do it because I'm not a computer. Stan, you ought to know this by now. I'm not literate when it comes
good.
To
computer. You're doing all right.
Yeah, but well, thanks for the kind words, but you know, like I'm a moron when it comes to computer stuff. And
just like you know, in Jim's situation, you know, you got a question. There's plenty of us here that can help you out, help you figure things out.
I won't call them kids. They are younger than me, especially White Man for White Land. They're really stepping up their game. They got the videos. The blogs are awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm doing, you know, cut and paste from news sources all over the Internet. And if I can insert a photo, well, that's about as good as I'm going to get.
Well,
that's all you have to do.
That's all it takes.
Sometimes you don't even need words. All you need is a picture.
Yeah,
and you know, these pictures that they make it so hard to find of that guy, the one we were just talking
Demetrius
about.
Demetrius and Octavius.
You don't need words. Their names under their picture, that helps too when they've got names like, you know, Latalvis and Demetrius and Octavius. But all you need is a picture of those guys, and it reaches home. Everybody knows what's going on. And then just a few words of your own commentary. The stuff that the mainstream won't dare publish, you know, you could inject just a couple of words there and get someone to think. And soon you develop a slight following. I know you've got a hell of a following on your blog down there. Or I don't know the numbers. I mean, the Hudson Valley Freeman.blogspot.com, I think there's a counter on the bottom of it for views, and I think it just turned over 30,000. And you know,
when I look through the link results, somebody there was this Italian nationalist group, and they had a message for him, and I trace back and I look for links or results that are like linking back to me. And one was this Italian nationalist group in Italy. They were talking about a story I put up on the blog.
That's great.
I think early on there was somebody from Finland. They were on a message group, and the translation came back something. They were referring to a story about some Lakewood Hasidics, saying, like, I think they said something like, thank God we don't have those people over here.
Yeah. I've got people communicate with me from South Africa, from all over the place, you know, that follow my blog. It's kind of funny because, you know, I'm not a computer guy, and I decided, I forget what made me, actually I do know, Anchorage Activist, he sent me a private message on vnnforum.com, and he said, go ahead, I'll help you if you need some help, and he did help me, just give me a couple of basic pointers, and I went to Blogspot, and I realized how simple it was, and I've passed it along. I've had a few other people
ask, you know, how to go about doing it. And I see that they've put their blogs up there, and it's growing. It's spreading like a cancer. It's spreading like the Puerto Ricans were spreading down in Manalapan, New Jersey. it's spreading all over, and it's hard to keep a lid on some of this stuff now because people are talking about this stuff everywhere. And it only makes it's cool when you find out you've got Italian nationalists that are following your blog, reading about stuff that, you know, I don't know what the laws are over in Italy, you know, naming the Jew. I don't think it's like Canada or Germany, but it's cool to know that, you know, what the little bit of time and effort that you put behind it. And it's not a lot. I don't spend a lot of that. Sometimes I feel guilty for not spending enough time on my blog, but I'll just post up a couple of things, like a picture and a few words or something. I try to keep it, you know, local, but it's hard to keep it local, especially when stories are coming up like the, you know, the Chan and Christian murder and the news blackout. And people, they start to learn. They learn, and they'll go hit your blog, and they'll start coming back a couple times a week, and they'll start checking into some of the links, and the next thing you know, they end up listening to us on this radio show right now.
Right.
And there's a lot of people out there that are starving for this truth, and we got an opportunity now. I mean, we couldn't do this 5 years ago, if you think about it. Well, we could on a forum, but we couldn't have local blogs like we do now, and YouTube, and the Google videos. I mean, we can. This is our chance right here. If we blow it now, there's no... we better not blow it. No. We've got the opportunity now.
If we do, then we better start fighting in the streets.
Yeah, and these kikes realize that, too. They realize that they fucked up by not getting control of this internet 20 years ago. Boy, do they know it. And they're trying. Boy, are they trying, but they just can't. You know, we've got the First Amendment. We've got the Bill of Rights. We've got stuff here in this country that others don't have. I mean, look at Thomas Wanicki. I mean, well, he was thrown in jail for 6 months for posting on an internet forum.
Yeah, not even in his country.
Yeah, right. We can still do that legally. We can hand out newspapers to people that have the word nigger and Jew, you know, that maybe some may find offensive. Oh, we can still do that. And if we don't start taking advantage of it, we're it's over.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's over. And here's Bud, if you're still there. I'm here. You mentioned Manzi. If you're done, I'll read this article real quick. It's a short article.
And, go right ahead.
You may even be familiar with it. This is, I can't even pronounce the Jew name, Nuturi Karta members suspect arson because of previous threats made after group's representatives attended Holocaust denial conference in Tehran. I guess we've all, when David Duke was over at the Holocaust conference, or as they call it, the Holocaust denial conference, I remember seeing a picture or two of a couple of Yids, Hasidic Yids, and they were there. You know, there are some Jews out there that do, they kind of get it. They do know that this constant,
you
nonstop...
You mean the ones that got beat up?
I don't know about that, but I do know that I read an article today, and I'll read it here. It says, a fire destroyed the synagogue and residence of a senior rabbi of an anti-Zionist, ultra-Orthodox Jewish group whose members attended an Iran-sponsored conference late last year that debated the occurrence of the Holocaust. Police and fire investigators said the blaze Sunday night in Manzi, about 35 miles north of New York City, was considered suspicious because the group, Nuturi Karta, I think I'm pronouncing that right, maybe not, has been the target of threats. The Journal News reported on its website. Police would not confirm for the Associated Press that the blaze was considered suspicious. No one was injured in the fire. The senior rabbi who lived at the location was in London. Rabbi Israel David of this group said, the group suspects arson because of previous threats. There's no question that the issue is to stifle the opposition to Zionism, he said by telephone early Monday morning. Rabbi Moshe Beck, a senior rabbi for the group, lived on the top floor of the building, David said. Beck is one of the group's more outspoken leaders. quote, he's the backbone of much of the activity. So that's why he supposedly has been singled out, Dovid said. In December, about five members of the group traveled to Tehran for a two-day conference convened to debate whether the Holocaust occurred. Some were photographed meeting with Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. I can never pronounce that guy's name. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who has called the Holocaust.
Jim?
Yeah.
The rabbi, the one who went to the conference?
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of Jews beat him up.
Yeah.
I posted on it on the forum.
Oh, okay.
He got beat up, and someone from the group said, they were quoted and said, we gave him a good old-fashioned beating or something. I found a picture of him. And now they did what? They burned down his synagogue?
Yeah, that's what I'm reading here. And it destroyed the synagogue. And the last sentence in the article says, the conference outraged many other Jewish groups. So here you've got a case of what I see is there are a handful of Jews out there like, what's his name, the professor down in Columbia University that wrote the book The Holocaust, in Norman Finkelstein. Mm. They do understand that their fellow brethren just whining and crying about this so-called Holocaust nonstop is going to end up, and it's going to come back and bite them in the ass. And they're probably not over there to dispute, you know, I know in the case of Dr. Norman Finkelstein, the author of The Holocaust Industry, he doesn't go that far and say it's all bullshit. What he's trying to warn his brethren that you guys, you're pushing this a little too hard. They're going to catch on to us again, like they've done throughout history so many times, and this is going to cause us some serious problems if you guys don't back off of this. And I think that's what these rebbes were doing over at the Holocaust. You know, and it's another case of good Jew, bad Jew, and see, we're just like you, and and all this other nonsense. But I think deep down inside, I mean, you got a picture. Try to imagine yourself being a Jew. And
God,
you see these, you go, you're surfing the web and you see New Jersey Unfiltered, you see the Hudson Valley Freeman, you see Kirksville, you see all these blogs, and they're all naming the Jew, and you realize that people are starting to catch on to this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the end result is going to be big problems for your people. And there are some that do understand this, and I think what they're doing is warning their brethren to just, like, don't say, you know, I think Finkelstein, he admits that he's got survivors in his family, but I think the warning is, like, just kind of back off a little. They're catching on to us. This is a friendly warning. I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, friendly warning. Burn down a synagogue.
Well, it's good. I mean, and of course, that would have been the perfect opportunity for the Jew to burn his own synagogue down and blame it on his, you know, his pro-Zionist Jew brethren. It's a big game. I mean, they're all Jews at the end of the day.
Right.
They fight all day long, but when the lights, you know, they're all Jews.
Yep.
And I thought it sounded like Bud was trying to say something. You didn't lose
no,
him.
I'm just listening.
Okay.
I guess on a related note, and it's probably be about the only... Well, I had like two more things I wanted to talk about tonight, but while we're on the subject of Jews, they had in Lakewood, they had a day-long symposium that the Jews, the Hasidic sponsored, called Bagels, Lox, and Cops, Getting to Know the Orthodox Jewish Community. And the newspaper article, it said, provided an opportunity.
Here we go again. Everybody there? Yep. Here we go again. If this call gets disconnected, I'm going to take a short break, seeing as it's near the top of the hour.
Opportunity for representatives.
And there it goes. Okay, we dropped, and I'm going to play some tunes. We're going to take a short break. Everybody hang out. Top of the hour, we'll finish this discussion, and in about a half hour, Alex Linder is going to join us. And hopefully he's got some word for us about the rally date or whatever is being cooked up. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Free Talk Live on VNN, Vanguard News Network. Go VNN.com, VNN Forum. See you in a bit.